in addition to being director of corporate communications for Corellian, I'm also director of operational continuity.
And this is something, I guess, that you've had experience with before in some way, shape, or form with World Bank?
Yeah, that's right. For about 6 or 7 years, when I lived in Washington, D.C., I was the senior continuity officer for global operations for the World Bank. So I had a chance to work on this type of work all around the world.
Okay, in a nutshell, what is operational continuity, and how is what's happening now showing local businesses everywhere where they fall short?
Just in broad terms, business continuity, as most people refer to it, is the ability of an organization to ensure that the continuity of their services in support of their customers to maintain their viability before, during, and after some sort of interruption. In this case, pandemic flu. Or pandemic COVID-19.
When you did your presentation recently, you talked about its business continuity is about maintaining viability before, during, and after an event that impacts revenue, financial performance, productivity, damaged reputation, other things. Talk about that a little bit and why it's important that if anything good comes out of this, that one of the things for businesses is that they start thinking about a continuity plan.
Those are all the great reasons why we care about continuity. We want to make sure if you're a small business owner that your employer or your employees can get paid, that your customers are taken care of, so that your business is viable following some sort of interruption. And the number of organizations, and you know, we're pretty immune to most of that here in the Roanoke Valley. But if you live on the coasts, hurricanes are a regular occurrence, and so a lot of the organizations, in those areas have robust continuity plans. If you haven't faced an event like that or a fire or something like that, you may not be as, your plans may not be as robust. You may have an idea, but they may not be as intentional as they are. And so we really do encourage in this area with small businesses and other organizations to spend the time, do the work, dig in a little deeper, understand what could happen if your supply chain was interrupted or your staffing was interrupted, and what you could do to address that.
We'll talk with Chris Turnbull. He's the Director of Operational Continuity for Corellian Clinic. Has this been a learning experience for Corellian Clinic?
Of course. I mean, every time you go through it, it doesn't matter which situation it is. You always learn things as you move through. I'm extremely proud. The departments here at Corellian in the past week or so, I've received unit-leveled plans for 200 different units that are geared directly toward pandemic and what those units might do to maintain their operations in a situation like this. So, yeah, those plans are constantly evolving. We're constantly learning. And in fact, I would say that if you're not, then you're doing it wrong.
You talked about looking at this holistically, Chris, and you talk about things like ensuring critical business processes, minimizing the impact of business interruptions, and training staff to handle interruptions and to kind of roll with it. How important is all of that? You know, interruption being the key word.
Continuity, folks, I like to joke a little bit. We have great partners and peers in emergency management, and the emergency management folks are very much focused on the actual incident. What has occurred? How do you help immediately? Continuity folks, it's not that they don't care about what that is, but their focus is on the impact to a couple key areas. The people involved, the facilities that might be involved, the technology and the tools, and of course, as you mentioned, Gene, the critical processes that all of that wraps around. And those are the areas that when you sit down and try to do your continuity plans well, you're thinking through what is the impact on people. How can I make sure that my staff are able to work? If they're not able to work, how can I get additional resources to continue that function? The facilities, is my building safe? Or is my building non-existent? Is it? Do we not have access to it? And that could be a case here in Virginia if we move toward a more mandatory shelter in place. If that's the way that we wind up going, the buildings are there; they're fully functional, but people can't get to them. If you think about the technology and the tools, so what are those technology tools that people need to have to do their job? And then, of course, all of those elements support those critical processes and those functions that each organization has. And you've got to train people. Your plan should not be a secret to your own folks. They really need to know what to do when you pull the trigger and say, okay, folks, we're activating our plan, and this is what I need you to do.
Right, and I guess part of it is about identifying real priorities. You talk about a phased approach to planning, preparation, mitigation, and response, and then full response. You have to identify critical functions, and I guess you really need to prioritize what functions are most critical, Chris, because there may be some in certain times that fall by the wayside?
That's exactly right. I think it's reasonable to expect that you would not be able to operate as normal in a scenario where different elements of your business are disrupted. Identifying up front what those critical functions are, what you really must do, is going to be the most important first step that you can take.
We'll talk with Chris Turnbull. He's the Director of Operational Continuity for Carilion Clinic. A couple more questions. One of them is, you know, one of the things you brought up was at your presentation was how to maintain oversight when some people work from home, what remote technology is needed, and only include the tools that you have available. In other words, don't plan a scenario where you're going to spend oodles of money for stuff that you might not be able to get, but how important is maintaining that oversight and making sure that when people go home in the work that they're as productive and as valuable as they are if they're in an office?
You know, I think that's going to be different for different organizations. I look at some of our professional organizations in town, attorneys, other folks like that, very, very capable, used to working independently, used to working on their own. They're going to continue to do that in a distanced environment or remote work environment. I think where it gets a little bit more challenging and where you probably need to institute some checks and balances are in situations where individuals are not used to working in a remote environment. You know, what are some of the goals that they might need to achieve on a daily basis? If it's a call center or if it's a processing function that you might do at home, what are some of those metrics do you need to achieve in 3 hours, 5 hours, 8 hours? Is it reasonable to expect that you could have the same productivity at home or in a distance environment than you would in an office? In some cases, absolutely. In some cases, more so. But in other cases, they're not going to be able to do as much. And so understanding what those limitations are in your own world is an important element of setting expectations in that plan.
This whole process of workflow changes, if there's limited staff or capacity, that's another thing that should you have a scenario where if you're down half a staff or you've sent half the staff home and they're not working from home, that you can still keep your business going?
Yeah, I'll give you a great example. My wife is a veterinarian and very, very small business, 13 staff there. And so she's reworked her entire workflow so that clients can now drop their pets off in the front of the building, but they're not able to go inside. The animal is taken in, done an exam. They're contacted. They can stay in the parking lot. They can talk by phone. That's a completely different workflow than the typical one that she uses, where a client would bring the pet in, they would go into a room, tech would come in and do an initial exam, the veterinarian would come in next. It's a different workflow, and it has to be worked out. And Gene, I will say this to you, I said it at the presentation, none of this is rocket science. The intention is not that this is insurmountable for any business. It does take some time to walk through. It takes some time to think through. And that's what, you know, I would recommend that businesses, organizations in our area spend some time doing if they haven't already, and many of them have.
And this is an ongoing process, Chris. This is something that maybe you're constantly taking a look at to make sure you're reducing your risk in the right way.
The old way of thinking about business continuity, and I'm talking maybe 20 years ago or so, was that, oh, we'll do this plan, it'll be a one and done, and we can reassign that person or put that person back to the work they were doing before. The reality of it is, you need this as a constant running in the background of your business. You know, there are organizations that I know of that on the back of the ID card for the individual staff members, it lists the steps they take should there be an interruption, so that there's always an understanding by each employee of what to do when something does happen. As sad as it is, that is the nature of the world that we seem to be living in for the last couple decades.
And last question is, you know, has this coronavirus incident, Chris, shown many businesses, large and small, that they just weren't prepared for something like this, that they were caught unaware, and why they need to work on that plan to imagine the worst-case scenario?
Yeah, that's a good point, Gene. I think absolutely people were caught unprepared for this. I think it would be very difficult to be fully prepared for a situation like this. I have had the fortunate experience of planning for a pandemic for about 15 years now in a business environment. There are so many variables that are out of the control of the individual business. It makes it very difficult to plan. And you could spend weeks, months, years planning for every different scenario out there. It's much more valuable, much more important for businesses to have an all-hazards approach to this type of situation, where if Like I said a little bit earlier, it's not so much the actual event or the situation that they need to plan for. It's what if you don't have people? What if you don't have technology? What if you don't have facilities? What if you can't perform your processes? How are you going to deal with that? That all hazards approach gives you a baseline, gives a business a baseline, and can ultimately help them get through it. But make no mistake, this is going to be challenging. And everything that I'm hearing from our experts here and experts elsewhere is that it's probably going to get worse before it gets better. Spend the time planning now, do as much of that work as you can, and then do your best to roll with it.